Welcome to the Lansdale Life Church Podcast. If you're seeking a closer relationship with Jesus Christ, this podcast is for you. Thank you for joining us today.
The title of the message tonight is Victory Lap. I was really, really hoping the softball team would have won last night. And it would have been good. It was actually the worst game we played yet. And we haven't won one yet, if that's saying anything. It was the mercy rule last night. I don't even know. Did we get a run, Aaron? We got one run, and it was like 20-1. And they just stopped the game. After four innings. Yeah. So, you know, our first game, I don't know, we were like on fire. It was like a good team, and we were up by two runs in the bottom of the last inning. And then there was one play that we missed, and we lost by a single run. And it was like, it was 15-14 we lost by. And then since then, it's just been brutal. So, we got, yeah. Yep, exactly. Yeah, come on. Yeah, we need someone. Yeah, exactly. So anyway, yeah, we'll get there. We're not inviting anybody out until we at least win one game. then we'll do the WhatsApp. Like, yeah, we'll see. No, I hope not. But hey, maybe if we start doing well, he could. So yeah, we're doing Joshua 12, Victory Lap. I looked up a non-spiritual quote, like a non-faith-based quote for success, just because I wanted to see what the world's working with. And it's just like funny and sad at the same time. So here's one that came up to like, this is what motivates people, I guess. And it says, "You have the power within yourself to make anything possible. You must diminish the doubt and ignite the self-belief." Yeah, cool. Ignite the self-belief. And I was reading it, and it's like so funny, all the word of God that comes to mind. And I'm like, okay, you have the strength in yourself to make anything possible. And it's like, no, I think I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Amen. And then the other one was like, you must diminish the doubts and ignite your own self-belief. And the word of God, you think John the Baptist, I must decrease and he must increase, right? It's like the exact opposite. And it's so funny because all these quotes, they try and take like parts of the gospel and then just suck Jesus out of it and has zero power. But yeah, that's what people are working with, I guess, if you don't have the gospel for victory. And that's a hard thing if you don't have Jesus. But so victory, and we're going to be getting into in the passage just some of the things like, it's a list of the kings and the cities that they took over. And so while it's not going to be like black and white what the word is specifically saying, I'm not going to go into each one of these kings and maybe like what they represented, but I'm going to be going into, hey guys, hey Connor, what's up? I'm going to be going into what this, I guess, says about God, right? Why it's in here, and it's going to be pretty good, I hope. So first off, our victory is 100% founded in the gospel. This isn't some like vague victory that we have that, you know, self-help, self-promotional stuff. Like, you know, we already have the greatest victory of all time, right? We talked about on Sunday that Jesus defeated sin and death. We have eternal life. That is incredible. He sets us free. Galatians 5:1, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. We've been set free so that we don't live in bondage, but we can actually live free in Christ. Colossians 2, when you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins, having canceled the charge of legal indebtedness which stood against us and condemned us. He has taken it away, nailing it to the cross, and disarmed the powers and authorities and made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. Yeah, the cross is the supreme image of victory. He defeated everything that stood against us on the cross. And then even in Revelation, I love it. They, speaking of the believers, they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. And that testimony is not just your life story, you know, although that is super powerful And we're going to talk a lot about that tonight. But the testimony is of Jesus Christ, that he was slain and is risen, and he is God. The testimony of Jesus is what sets us free. So let's start. Chapter 12, Joshua, verse 1. These are the kings of the land whom the children of Israel defeated, and whose land they possessed on the other side of the Jordan toward the rising of the sun, from the river Arnon to Mount Hermon and all the eastern Jordan plain. One king was Sihon, king of the Amorites, who dwelt in Heshbon and ruled half of Gilead from Aroer, which is on the bank of the river Arnon, from the middle of the river, even as far as the river Jabbok, which is the border of the Amorites, and the eastern Jordan plain from the Sea of Chinnereth, as far as the Sea of Arabah, the Salt Sea, the road to Beth Jeshimoth, and southward below the slopes of Pisgah. The other king was Og, king of Bashan, which we're going to talk about a little bit, and his territory, who was the remnant of the giants who dwelt at Ashtaroth and Erdai, and reigned over Mount Hermon, over the Salka, over Bashan, as far as the borders of the Geshurites and Makarathites, and a lot of other names that I don't know. And Moses, the servant of the Lord, and the children of Israel had conquered, and Moses, the servant of the Lord, had given it as a possession to the Reubenites, the Gadites, and the half-tribe of Manasseh. So, this is a recap of what Moses did, you know, the years before Joshua's conquest. And, you know, the Bible, especially in Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, and now Joshua, it's repeating a lot of the same things that happened in the previous books. It's a lot of repetition. Like, even as we're going to get into Samuel, 1st and 2nd Kings, 1st and 2nd Chronicles, these books often repeat some of the same stories that we see. And think about how many times you've heard the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt. There's a lot of repetition, a lot of focus on the things that have happened in the past victories. And it is so important, this is showing us, it is so important to remember the past victories that God has had in your life, to repeat it over and over again, to meditate on it, and to not forget the victories of God. Because when we see God's victory, both in the gospel, like first and foremost, like we talked about, but when we see his power in our lives, it gives us faith and hope for the future. Like if you went through something really hard in the past and you saw God completely turn it around, as something new comes, you might be discouraged and beaten down and kind of concerned and worried, but then you remember, man, God did this back then. Like if he could do that then, he can do it now. And it's so important to repeat it and focus on it. In the Psalms talks all about this. David had an insane life. And he had so many times where he was running for his life. And you read what he says in Psalm 77, I will remember the deeds of the Lord. Yes, I will remember your wonders of old. Psalm 143, I remember the days of old. I meditate on all that you have done. I ponder the works of your hands. Psalm 105, remember the wondrous works that he has done, his miracles and the judgments he uttered. Deuteronomy, then take care lest you forget the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt and the house of slavery. So it's important. The Bible is always telling us, remember, remember, remember what he's done for you in the past so that you don't lose heart, so that you don't forget how God saved you and set you free from. So again, this remembering, which the Israelites did all the time, they wrote everything down. Every time God did something incredible, they set up a monument and they would set up an altar to the Lord, and that was a way for them to remember what God has done, so they would continue to follow God, so they would continue to have faith in him. And so the title of the message is Victory Lap, because they're doing a whole, you know, a remembrance and a victory lap over everything that God did. You know, it was all God who did it. They were obedient, and we're going to talk about that. But it's not glorifying themselves. It's 100% glorifying God, because when you turn your eyes to him and what he's done, immediately your faith rises. Like, has anyone felt that before? You come against something and someone reminds you, like, wait, remember this happened before? Like, remember how God, like, came through for you? And, like, then immediately you're like, yeah, you know, this problem doesn't seem, like, that big of a deal. Like, I can get through this because he's with me. So remember, write it down. Remember it. Have things in the house that will remind you of what God's done, what he's freed you from, how he's provided for you, how he's healed you, or how he's even used you to encourage and minister to someone else, and they've seen victory. Because it's easy, it's really easy to forget. Matthew, I always read these two chapters and I'm just like blown away by the disciples. Because, you know, Matthew 14 and Matthew 15, there's two different feedings of a bunch of people. You know, the feeding of the 5,000 in Matthew 14 and the feeding of the 4,000 in Matthew 15. And it's like the exact same scene. And it's like they completely forgot how God did a miracle. So it's like they need to feed the people. And they're like, how are we going to do this? We don't have enough money. We can't go back to this town. There's not enough time. And he says, give me the bread, the fish. And he multiplies it. The next chapter, the same exact thing happens. They're like, God, we can't go back to the city. We don't have enough money. What are we going to do? And then sure enough, he's like, okay, bring me what you have, and does it again. We are so much like the disciples, even if we don't want to admit it, right? We read the Gospels, we're like, I wouldn't do that. Are you kidding me? And then like every day of the week, something bad happens and we lose heart immediately and forget that God can do this. So we got to remind ourselves all that he has done so we can have faith for what's coming. Another thing to take note of is this is Joshua's book, right? This is the book of Joshua. And he's talking about the victories that you would think would be his conquest. But he starts with the victories of Moses. And it's really important to remember those that have gone before you. Remember those who had victory before you that maybe led to your own victory. So, you know, I think about it often. What would life be like if X, Y, and Z didn't happen? And, you know, I think about my grandparents, you know, saved. What year did you guys get saved?
What year
I got
saved?
Yeah. 1961, right? Both of you. 62? 67. Awesome. And I just think about, like, what would it have been like if you know, we didn't have faith in our family from you guys so early on? And it's just incredible to think and to just thank God for the victories in the people around you. Like, you know, the faith that you guys had, and then my mom, and then when we were born, they took their faith seriously. My dad got saved. They both became, like, dedicated their lives to God. And then now here I am and my siblings growing up in a Christian home. And, you know, my life could have been a lot different. I could have maybe not found God until much later in life after I've been through a lot of stuff that I wouldn't have had to. So, like, I'm thankful to all four of you for following Jesus, because you set me up for victory in my life. And it's important to honor and to think about those who have gone before you and maybe have made victory easier in your life because they were a role model and an example to you. Hebrews 13 says, remember those who rule over you, who have spoken the word of God to you, whose faith follow, consider the outcome of their conduct. So think about the people who have been a huge role in your life for faith, and honor them and remember their victories, because as you see what God has done in someone else's life, it instills faith and hope for your own life. Another thing that is interesting, you know, it's the king of Og, it says right in, this is 16 and a half feet. So this guy was huge. They had to make it out of iron to hold him. That's how big this guy was. And the Lord said to Moses, don't be afraid, go take him. And he took him. So here is the victory of Moses over this giant. And you know, King David knew the word of God. So here he's going into battle against the giant Goliath. Don't you think he was thinking about the prior victories of the people who went before him? Like, hey, Moses did this. You know, God said to Moses, don't be afraid, I'll deliver him into your hands. God can do the same thing for me today. He can deliver Goliath into my hands. So we need to see the giants that the people around us have taken down so that we can have faith as well, that we can overcome. Another thing that comes to mind is noticing and encouraging people for the victories in their life. So here's Joshua saying, like, essentially putting Moses up first and saying, thank you for all the victories that you've had. And, you know, it was so funny. I was looking for some altar type things in my life. I have some stuff that God has used in my life, and I could tell you about in a little bit. But I was looking for them in this like memories bin in my attic, and I found this note card that you wrote me, Dad. I think maybe both of you guys. And when I was like 13, I remember I was watching like Fresh Prince of Bel-Air one night. Do you remember this? Watching Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. And like every once in a while, those episodes would get like, you know, a little bit PG-13, you know. And so I was watching it, and it was just me down there at night, and, you know, 13 years old. And then it seems like, you know, he's going to make out with this girl and something might happen. So I was sitting there, and I just felt God like say, hey, you don't have to watch this. So I got up, and I just turned it off. And my dad, I didn't know, he was on the second floor. We had a little like alleyway thing, and he was like, hey, Jesse, good job. I'm proud of you. I'm like, oh. And you wrote me a little note card the next morning just saying, like, you know, encouraging me in it. And it was like a victory over temptation. But honestly, I've thought about that like at least once a year since probably. I'm like, oh, wow. Like he saw that. Like God sees that. God sees victories in my life. And it's important to encourage those around you because maybe, you know, someone was, you know, it could be anything in their life. Maybe they had a small victory, but now they're losing heart and they're like, I don't want to do this anymore. I want to give back into this sin. I just want to go back. This is too hard. And then you come along and you're like, hey, you're doing an awesome job in this area. I've seen God really use you. And suddenly the faith rises up. It's like, I'm not going to give in. I'm going to keep running this race for the Lord. And it's crucial to do that because we need to encourage one another. The Bible talks about that a lot. Spur each other on. Fan into flame the gifts that God has put in your life. And we have to do that for each other. Like, you fan into flame the gifts in your life, but we have the body of Christ for a reason. So when you see a victory in someone's life, when you see God using someone, encourage them. It'll do wonders for their walk. Let's see if I had anything else I wanted to hit on that. That's just a... I don't know if I'm going to do that one. Yeah, we'll skip that. Now I want to. You guys are all like, what is it? Okay, I'll just do it. So it's also important, like, great to, like, look back at the people, like, way back in the day. Like, we have the Word of God, which is so powerful to see the testimonies. But there's a lot of really awesome church history that you can look into. And there's this one, you know, my brother-in-law told me about. This one guy back in, like, I think it was the 3rd century. This is crazy. I love it. It makes me just, like, want to be so bold for God. He's a martyr. And so his name is Saint Theodore, and it's back in Rome. And so the emperor, he was really persecuting Christians. And he was killing them. And there, anyway, Saint Theodore was a soldier that everybody really looked up to. And the emperor knew he's a Christian and wanted to convert him back to paganism. And so, meanwhile, the saint, Theodore, wanted to convert the emperor to Christianity, so they agreed to meet. And anyway, it became evident that the emperor wasn't going to convert, and Saint Theodore was going to have to get killed. So he's like, I'm going to like do something on the way out. So he's like, he makes the emperor think he'll convert to paganism. He kind of like leads him astray and says, let me see your idols that you want me to worship, and let me just take them home real quick. And tomorrow, then, you know, we'll come back and we'll talk. But I want to take them home for my own personal worship. So he brings home back to his house these super precious golden images, like all this gold. And he just pounds them down into pieces and gives them to the poor. And now the poor are rich in the town. And he goes back and meets the emperor. And he testifies of Jesus and shares the gospel and says, I'm never, ever going to convert back to paganism. So they torture him, like, ruthlessly. Like, I don't even want to read the stuff. And then they crucify him. And they leave him on the cross, and they come back the next day. And, you know, according to the early 3rd century church, he actually, his body was healed, and he was totally fine again. And so then they pull him down, and he didn't even try to run away. And he said, I'm not going to run away from martyrdom for Jesus. And they behead him. And then the church just, like, you know, because of the persecution, like, the church just grew. And so I see that, I'm like, man, like, there's so, like, The body of Christ has been here like since Pentecost, 2,000 years, and God has been using people ever since. It's incredible. So looking back on the people who have gone before you just gives you so much faith as well. All right, let's jump to verse 7 now. And these are the kings of the country which Joshua and the children of Israel conquered on this side of the Jordan, on the west from Baal-Gad in the valley of Lebanon as far as Mount Halak and the ascent to Seir, which Joshua gave to the tribes of Israel as a possession according to their divisions, in the mountain country, in the lowlands, in the Jordan plains, in the slopes, in the wilderness, and in the south, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. And then he goes through all these kings. I think it's 31 kings. This is a massive, massive victory. Some of the strongest kingdoms at that time were in this area. And some of the kingdoms were like made up of, they were giants. It's incredible. And they win all these battles because of the Lord. And not only is it an amazing victory, but it's also an amazing promise fulfilled. Because over 500 some years earlier was when God promised Abraham, I'm going to give you this land right here. But it's going to be 400 years from now, he ends up telling him, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, tells him that then you'll come back and you'll inherit it after your offspring are in bondage. So sure enough, like 500 some years later, here they are. They actually take it. 500 years they waited. It could have been shorter because of the wilderness wandering. But sometimes victory does take a little while, right? Don't lose heart. Romans 5 says, we glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance, character, character, hope. Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out into our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. So some of the promises of God in our life, you know, obviously not the filling of the Holy Spirit, obviously not forgiveness of sins, all the things in the gospel, but there are some things in your life that just take longer. Maybe it's you felt a promise from God that you're going to be used in a certain area. Maybe it's to be married. Maybe it's kids. Maybe it's healing in your body. There's so many things. Maybe it's salvation of a loved one. Some of these things take a long time. But don't lose heart. Like, this was a 600 year promise, and it came to pass because God is faithful. Like, he is faithful. He is just. The things that he says, he will do. And my brother-in-law, he walked away from his faith, and we were praying for him for years. And then it was, I think, like 8 years later. And it was every time our church fasted, Maria and I would be praying for him. And sure enough, after 8 years, we hear this story, and he texts us, and he's like, hey guys, I'm born again and I love Jesus. And I was like, what? Like 8 years. And it was just so much time where almost you're wondering, like, is this going to happen? Like, I don't know. Like, so many things in our life, when it takes a while, we can lose heart. But man, like, we can see the faithfulness of God all through the Bible, even when it takes long. He's not slack. He's not lazy. Like, he has a plan in it all, and we just have to trust him. We have to trust him and persevere. And you know, victory, it does take obedience. Like I said, the Israelites wandered for 40 years because they were disobedient when they finally came time to take hold of the promised land that was promised to Abraham. Hebrews 3 says, whom did God swear that they would enter his rest, if not to those who disobeyed? So we see that we are not able to enter because of their unbelief. So they were going to enter this rest, this promise, and it was unbelief, and it was disobedience that stopped them. And sometimes there's things in our life, there's victories, and like, God won't push you into victory. Like, he won't force you to do anything. Like, he calls you to such great things, but then it's your job to say, yes, Lord, I'll follow you. I'll do this. I'll obey. And as you do, you see victories just start happening and flowing, because every good and perfect gift, all victory, everything comes from Jesus. And if you submit to him, you'll see the blessings and the victory in your life. So victory does take obedience. Another thing. So we saw the victories of Moses, but then Joshua has his own victories. It's important to have it's a good barometer, a good like way to assess where you're at sometimes, to think, do I have any recent victories? When I talk about what God has done, is it only things a long, long time ago? Like, is it always the thing from 20 years ago and I haven't had a single thing since that I can say God has done? And if that's the truth, then it's like, okay, well, maybe I need to raise my faith a little bit. Maybe I need to be more aware of what God's doing. Maybe I'm a little bit apathetic or a little bit distracted. I'm unaware that God has things that he wants to do in my life. So, sure, Moses had victories, and we're supposed to celebrate. We're supposed to think back on the history of victory in our lives. But we need to have recent victories as well, because God has something new for us every day. God has something he wants to do through us, in us. And the only way we can know what it is, you know, a lot of what we talked about on Sunday, right? If you want to know what God wants to do, you have to be with him. You have to abide, spend time with him, and reflect on the victory of the cross. Reflect on the fact that he's called you to such great things, and just talk to him. Ask him, what is next? What do you want from me? I don't want to be apathetic. I don't want to be distracted. I want to be in tune with you. So if you don't have victories recently, don't beat yourself up, but it's a good way to just test and say, Lord, I want more. I want more of your victory in my life. Okay, so tonight, I do want to close with this passage, but I would just want us to spend some time kind of thinking on victory in our lives, and one, maybe a victory in the past, like a long time ago. It could be salvation, it doesn't have to be a long time ago, but victories that have really kind of been a foundation in our life. Maybe it was something God set you free from. It was addiction. It was maybe a healing. Something that really became the foundation of your life to realize God's power, his victory. And then another one I want to talk about is a victory in someone else's life that has meant a lot to you. It could be a family member, a friend, someone you look up to, and what their life is showing is inspiring. So your own, and then someone around you, and then maybe something you need victory for, something you're praying for, so we can all pray for each other. But I want to close out with Hebrews 8, more than conquerors. Amen. So, what then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who then is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship, persecution, famine, nakedness, or danger, or sword? It is written, for your sake we face death all day long, and we are considered sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So Jesus, we just thank you so much for your victory, Lord. All your promises, every single thing that you offer to us is yes and amen in you, God. I thank you that you offer us the greatest victory of all time, Lord, which is salvation of our souls, that is freedom from sin. It is the empowerment and the grace of the Holy Spirit. And I pray that tonight, as we get into our small groups, I just pray that you'd bless our conversations. I pray that we would focus our attention on you throughout the rest of the week. And this would just be an encouraging time to reflect on past victories, God, in our own lives, in those around us, and areas, God, that we need your victory now, so we can pray for each other and encourage each other to continue to run this race. We love you so much. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for joining us at Lansdale Life Church as we praise God and discuss his word. Don't forget to join us for worship live Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. Eastern on YouTube. Be blessed and have a great day.